Welcome to Tales of a Per Entrepreneur with your host, Dr. Biz, aka Jamie Reeves.
Welcome to Tales of a Per Entrepreneur, a podcast that tells the stories of ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And if you're a business owner and parent, I salute you, as they are two of the hardest things you can do, and you are doing both together. I'm your host, Jamie Reeves, aka Dr. Biz, and on today's episode is a guest who's an old friend with a rich tapestry of business experience. He's owned a hotel, been a wedding planner with his own BBC TV series, been the inspiration to a village during the C-word times as the local shop owner. He also has four kids, despite only having sex twice, triplets for those that are curious, and now he's spending his time emceeing comedy evenings and being the presenter on TV and radio. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Onka Singh Purewal.
Ah, let's come here, people. Let's go. Jamie, what an introduction, mate. What an absolute introduction. Oh,
well, God. Do you know why I did that? I hear that comedy MCs like a warm hand on their opening.
Yeah. Not that warm, mate. Not that warm. yours was a bit cold, like, do you know what I mean? Yeah, it's just, that's it now. I feel a bit cold now, brother.
Good, mate.
I was just, literally for parents, you could see this in the background. I have no time to literally have the thing set. Kids have absolutely smashed my keyboard. The voice is not great, and I don't know what they've done, because they literally, you could with kids, you can lock them up in Fort Knox and they will still get through.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Like little Houdinis, aren't they?
Honestly, I came in here before the podcast because it's at the moment adapting. I've got high seats there, I've got this there. I think I got a nap. I don't know what's happening over there. You don't want to see over there. So they're going to nap, thank God. So I'll tell you one thing, naps are the best. Let me just say that. Anyone with toddlers and kids, mate. Yeah, it's great, mate, to be honest with you. It's just so many emotions, mate. So many emotions in it. Do you know what I mean? I don't know where you want me to start. What's the crack?
Let's get into doing what you're doing right now, because there's so many different areas that we could talk to you about. So let's start where you're at right now and how you manage being doing the things that you need to do as a business owner and breadwinner. And juggle that responsibility of four kids. I mean, I've got three and that's bad enough, but four, wow. So what is it that you're doing at the moment, Onka?
So basically there's a couple of things at the moment. There's me as the personal brand, me, Onka, and then there's basically the family brand. So, yeah. So with my dad, that we have. So what we tend to do, can you still hear me, Si?
Yeah.
Sorry, so what we tend to do is, let me put it this way. So I have this brand, and then basically, which I'll explain now, and then give context, is that we have then external businesses as well. So we have property that we built over years, me and my father and stuff. So managing that. Then at this current time, we have two takeaways, two chip shops up in the areas where we have the properties. So my dad, where I get my entrepreneurial is from my father, just grew up since 6 years old and breaking boxes and, you know, child labor. I'm still waiting for my back pay from him. Do you know what I mean? To be honest with you, do you know what I mean? He says, oh, it's in the post, you know, it's in the post, you know, and that's, you know, so got that. Then me as in terms of that, I've got there's no one set word really. I'm in the TV space. So, you know, I was joking in MC, and which I'll explain now, like, you know, I think I'm maybe known as a Z celebrity. Do you know what I mean? I get spotted by grandmothers, you know, like old age pensioners. They're like, oh my God, you know, but I'll take my son and go, you're that guy off the thing. And I went, yes. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, explain that. So I do a lot of TV. So 2018, I did a TV series from a wedding industry, which I'm not in at the moment. You explain. And then basically then it's just happened that BBC loved it, and then as that's carried on, I've gone into other TV programs. So there's a program in Wales which is called Weatherman Walking, which is a version of, say, Magic Countryside. It's Wales' version of the Weatherman. He goes around all Wales. They actually pay me to basically be a guest you know, like a presenter in the middle of the program about a certain area of Wales. Started doing that. Then I did radio, BBC Radio Wales. Did a documentary called Asian Welsh, which was all about Asians' contribution to Wales. So it was a three-part documentary series on BBC One, which was nuts. And then some other programs with Carol Vorderman, things like that. So it's like, wow. So I kind of geared everything, which I'll give you a decision how I got into it. So I geared everything, I wouldn't say now everything, towards that, because I'm like, I love this. This is me. Yeah. And then basically then I had this free gap and I always wanted to try comedy. I always, you know, I left the stage kind of thing. It's a weird thing. And I've been doing comedy for a year. And then just basically repeating the process of doing that. So, yeah, there's just loads of things happening at the moment.
So, yeah, how do you then manage building your own personal brand to become that TV personality and deal with the creative side of things and then still running your businesses, still running property, still helping your dad with the takeaways? How do you get the time to do that and how do you make sure that it all runs really smoothly?
Would I say it runs smoothly? I wouldn't say that. I don't think that ever exists. Do you know what I mean? We always have this thing that when we run businesses that it runs smoothly. Sorry, there's just one of the trade people that was sorting out a flat. So like, get away. Sorry about that. Let me just put that on there for you, James. Let me just put that on. Do not disturb. Sorry, James. My apologies. You know, coming onto a thing, I would say to everyone, I say that MCA. So I would say things don't run smoothly. And I've learned that with experience. That's fine. Do you know what I mean? I realized that it used to be like, it's got to be this. And I'll stress myself. Like for a wedding, it had to be perfect. Near enough. Mm-hmm. You know, those certain things you can't get away with to do. But I wouldn't say in terms of running it. So how do I kind of do it? It's been the maddest 4 or 5 years that I've ever had in my life. Do you know what I mean? So I'll give you a backstory. It's like, you know, I ran a hotel as soon as I finished university, came with my family, running that for years, turning from a rubbish, really bad nightclub into then a wedding venue that was doing 56 weddings a year. Yeah. So as I was doing that, then we expanded over to Asian catering. So to do Asian catering, and that's a very lucrative market to a certain degree. And we were the only ones in South Wales with a base in South Wales. So I started expanding that. So I had to learn hands-on marketing and management stuff. I've been to university and done all that, but there's nothing better than actually seeing the process in itself. Yeah. So I had to manage people. Then I had to change a whole wedding brand and videos and then get people to run to a certain degree. Then I would, you know, personally, that backstory then is a couple of things happened with family in the terms of what happened to me. Certain things happened with my wife, then I got a 10-year-old. And going away from the question, which I'll get to. Yeah. So certain things happened. And then basically 2018, a documentary was made. So it was filmed in 2015. Someone in the BBC said, who got promoted 2-3 years later, because they done a tester pilot, said, where's that guy? I want this on TV. Yeah. Got it done. And I was like, okay, that's a bonus. It was a 3-part series after 10 o'clock because I swear not doing weddings, not at the guests. Let me make that very clear. It's just it's very, you're in the wedding industry. It's very intense because you don't have, say, sorry, I'll sort that out tomorrow. It's kind of like it has to be then and then. So I had to learn project management processes and everything. So underlying all that, then COVID came, you know, the TV thing came, and did it really help my business? To a certain degree, it did. I was getting more selfies in a wedding than the bride and the groom in the Asian community. It was really mad. And then basically moved over to COVID, which kind of, and I went through a slip. I went through some personal things in my life up here, which we'll explain. You know, but I'll be honest with you, I had a breakdown near enough in 2018, 19, which I'll explain back to that. And I kind of just wanted to revise where I wanted to go to. And then I went, but we had a convenience store, a small one. Because me and my family, we always have bits and bobs to put things in, you know, because we buy property. And if we see we could turn it to shop, we turn it to shop. But I had to change my family from being a bay, we be there, to, okay, let's put processes, people in place. Yes, it's a little bit profit, but then we can expand it. It was a small convenience store. Then COVID came. Weddings absolutely died off a cliff in hospitality. Well, I'll be honest, we call the shops, but I've never seen anything like it. You know, it was, I was fighting for people for toilet roll in the cash and carry. Did I ever think that would happen? I was fighting for people for strong roll cider rather than food, because it was summer and everyone was like that. So you had to do all that. So, you know, during COVID, I was working, I think it was for 7 months, for 16 hours a day, for 7 days a week, nonstop, because it was just a momentum. And when you're in momentum, you need to lean into it.
Well, let's stop there a minute, because there were some interesting things that you said in that. Around 2018, you had a bit of a breakdown, and I'm guessing a lot of that was to do because you've stacked your plate up really, really high.
Oh, massively, mate. It was... All right, so...
With you stacking your plate that high, and then COVID comes along, and you're being a star within your community, because I remember all your videos and everything that you did, and one of my wife's best friends lives in that village that...
Oh, yeah, you said, you remember.
So I got to see a lot of the videos that you were posting out. So how did you then manage yourself and keep yourself sane when you're doing 7 days a week, 16 hours a day?
So where I came out of, like, so when 2018, kind of had my breakdown. So leading up to that, what happened was, so the question then is, how did I end up doing that? I think it's momentum. I think that what you see in, I've been in high intensity weddings. So in the sense that it would take you 3-4 days to plan, and then you have to execute it like in 18. And Asian weddings, like English weddings, are literally a breeze compared to what Asian weddings are. Do you know what I mean? Is my average one was like 400 or 500 people. Well, an average wedding I would have at the hotel was about 150, and then 200 or 300 in the night for reception, but only about 80 people for the sit down meal and free course and you know, the wedding breakfast. So that was fine. So I got people to start running that side and that side. But what happened was, is that, so my wife was ill. So we found that she had breast cancer a couple of years ago. So this is 2012, we discovered. And then at the same time, we just kind of discovered that my boy was autistic. He's 2.5 years old. We all knew, we took him into a daycare, and next thing you know, we knew something was kind of wrong, but not with him, but not the right word. Took him in daycare, and how other kids were interacting, he just wasn't doing those things. So it was like, wow, you know, it was going over. And I had to make a decision then, was that all my life and all my family, that was, because this is something I want to explain to people, this is the big thing. It's not about the running of the whole businesses, which I'm into now. And why decisions I do now was the values I place for myself, was the direction. I never understood that when I was young. People always used to read books like Jim Rowan, you read Tony Robbins or Les Brown, all these people who I love, and in terms of speaking, was to a certain degree, what are your values? Yeah. And I had to confront that. Because up until that point, before I married, I'd been working for 10 years straight in the hotel, been working hard, and certain things worked, certain things didn't. I family politics and just inexperience. It was horrible, worrying about cash flow, you know, 2008 recession and all that. So what happened was, the value was, is that here's the business and here's this. And what happened with my family is my parents are basically, my dad was immigrants coming in, and they always had to work, you know, and they get that. So there's no decision wrong. But we didn't see a lot of them when we were growing up. But luckily then, when we had shops, we were working in shops, so that family bond was still there. But what happened was, is that I said, do I want to, basically, my wife is in need of me for her help. My son's there because I was just working and my wife was looking after them. I was just coming back late in the night, 16 hours a day, 7 days a week for a couple of years. You're just doing it, but you don't realize. And then life just comes and it does. I'll tell you the same. Everyone comes and life will just go, there you are. Have a bit of this. You know what I mean? And that's the beauty of life, in the sense that in a bad way or a good way, it just comes and does this, and it stopped. Yeah, and I had
a little adjustment, doesn't it?
Well, it's not a little adjustment. Sometimes it's, you know, you could have bereavement, you could have something happen or something that, and you've got to take pause to have a look. And the value was this, was that I would now decide that the center, like, so the center is my family. Everything else revolves around them. That's it. That was a conscious decision. I look back now at 2014, 15, when my wife was ill and all that, that they are the decision. And every decision I've done has been based on them first, not that. I didn't want to go. I love my father, luckily, like in a sense that as soon as he came back to uni, our bond got better. So I, this is not a thing about parents doing great stuff. They're the best parents anyone in the world could ask for in the time and scenario that it was in. But I asked myself, what do I want to be as a man? You know what I mean? Like when I was young, I wanted to be a millionaire and do all this. And that is still to a certain degree the goal. Now, has it gone to plan where I wanted? No. But had I got 10, 20,000 things more that I didn't expect, my wife and my family and my kids are literally, it's priceless, if that can make sense. So that's why I wanted to explain this now to understand why I do these decisions now. That is an underlying foundation. And I said, so everything I do, if it affects them and affects my relationship with them, I will not do it. That's it. I won't do it.
And that's because of your values have changed, they've realigned into a way that when you were a young man starting out in business, it was to build the most successful business that you can, this big seven-figure, eight-figure monster that we all dream of and we've got all on our vision boards and this, that and the other.
Oh, big time.
And then when you start to have a family, then it changes. Right, okay, I want this business to deliver me and my family experiences and look after me and my family. And that then doesn't necessarily mean that it's got to be a seven or eight figure business.
Yeah.
It's then got to serve me in the best way possible so that my family is center of it and everything else is built around that. And that to me is what you've done over the last 7, 8 years by the sounds.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, it's, some people think that, look, you, I don't know who said this saying, I think it's Jim Rowan or whatever. You can't, it's a paraphrase if anyone hasn't heard it, but basically it's about, you can't change your destination, but you could change your direction. You can't change your destination overnight, but you could change your direction overnight.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So you can't be here, but if you're facing this way, but you want to be here, you can go that way. But it will take time to do. And when you're young, you're impatient. As soon as you start, I know it sounds, I can't believe like I'm in my 40s, you know what I mean? I don't feel 40, like my body feels 40, but my mind feels like I'm 20 years old sometimes. But then I think there's a bit of, I think a wise guy who calls himself wisdom, he's unwise, he's not wise at all, do you know what I mean? That's like Epictetus, you know what I mean, who says that, like if you say you're unwise, then you're not fucking wise at all, because we're just carrying on. And so I made that decision like that. So when the wife was going through treatment, and then luckily I had brothers, people I could rely on, and said, look, can you just look after this while I go in and out? And then I got to understand about my son. And then because, so he has LD, so it's like learning development top of autism. So he can't, he's basically nonverbal. He's 11 years old. He's almost the size of me. Like, not like that, but he will be massive. Yeah. And I'm still caring for him, washing him, showering him, cleaning him in the morning, everything. Do you know what I mean? Until, do you know what I mean? So, because he still has, in terms of learning as a 5, 6 year old, an 11, 12 year old body. Mm-hmm. So, but he's very smart. Like, I don't think he has that, but in terms of skills. Anyway, so as we get realization more, was doing it, I was working in the business, looking after the wife, and then helping the home more. And that was a big adjustment. And then we in Asian family, when we get married first, sometimes you live with your parents. So I was living with my parents and stuff. And then I bought a house just literally down the road. So I got all that and doing that. And then what happened was my body just went, and it's mad, mate, yeah? People think that when they have like breakdowns or they have before I had that, people said, look, you have to be mentally strong. It just happens. Sometimes your mind and your body don't care about your will. They don't care. It doesn't care. So a break in the mind is like a break in the leg. It happens.
Yeah.
So as soon as I finished the house and we moved in, the next day I couldn't get off the settee. It was mad. It's mad. I could talk about it now, but I couldn't understand it then. I couldn't get off the settee. I didn't want to move. I was like, my body just didn't, like it said, okay, you've looked at you, because then my wife got recovered and was all clear because she caught it early. It was super clear, you know? And it was just the chemo stuff. It's just, it's horrible when people go through it. But I wanted to be there, every appointment, everything, be at home, period. That was it. That was my goal for 2, 3 years. Did that, and then my boy and stuff, and then working with the Asian weddings and calculating, and coming back home, finishing early and stuff. And then my body, because it was kind of all eased off, my body went, yeah, that's fine. That's okay, Unks. you can go, and I couldn't move up the settee, Jane. I wanted to do things, but my body wouldn't do it. My mind wouldn't do it. And when I started getting counseling then, I said, look, I need help, because I was like it for 2 months. It just couldn't move. Then the TV series came. They phoned me up, and I was that close to saying no, because I just was not, because I was thinking about exiting the wedding business. Like, I just wasn't enjoying it because it's just in my state. My wife said to me, if you don't do this, you're going to regret it. And I said, you're absolutely right. And I'd done it, and tell you, mate, it was amazing. Like, I forgot the camera was there, and I'm still doing weddings and stuff. But I forgot the camera. But when I finished, I would just slump and go home. Yeah. I was me when I was doing the camera. I wasn't being that was me. So if anyone sees it, that is me. But when I got home, I realized now, looking back, I was actually in depression. I was in a state now then. And that's why I understand when people like Robin Williams, things like that, people look like this, but then there's something else behind. And then what happened was I got counseling, and then my counselor told me it was amazing, Mitch, what she told me. And she was brilliant. It was GP, but oh my God, she was so good. She says, you go into something called, she goes, I have an out of body experience. Like, I'm there, but I'm not there. So my brain is like, I'm talking to someone, but I feel like I'm floating, looking in. It was a weird feeling. And if people who have gone through this kind of stuff will understand, it's basically called displacement. So basically your body is trying to protect, your mind's trying to protect you from the emotions. And then, but so you're not there, but you're still functioning. That's a brain protection. The brain's trying to protect you, a mechanism.
Yeah.
Now, the reason I talk about all this is because it's very important for parents and fathers or mothers to go through that there's no such thing as invincible. You will crack, and it happens. Not that you will crack. It depends.
It's happened to me as well.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, bro. Do you know what I mean? And you know
that you talk about, but back around 2009, 2010, Jack had just been born. I was 6 months behind on my mortgage. I was setting up, trying to get Wedding Entertainment UK up and running, the Best Singing Waiters up and running, and I was working a full-time job that was taking up 10, 12 hours a day. And with the worry of doing all of those things at once, which is kind of worry to what you have, but it's still a worry that overloads the mind, working way too many hours, and your brain just shuts off and goes, nope, don't want to fucking do it.
Yeah. 100%, and you have no control over it. When people start now who have an experience go, oh, you can, trust me, you have no control.
Well, one of the things that my coach now says, I'm coached by a guy called Paul Moore, and one of his sayings is, mental health needs physical support. And that's 100%. Why one of the things I'm really kind of big on at the moment, excuse me, is making sure that I've got physical exercise and time for me planned into my weekly diary.
Yeah.
Because if you don't do that, then it's so easy just to overload yourself with shit for other people. Especially if you're a little bit like you and me, a people pleaser.
Because
we want to do right by our families. We want to do right by our customers. So it's really easy to say, right, I'll do this for you. I'll do this for you. I'll do this for you. And not really think of what we need to do for ourselves. 100%. There's a reason on the aeroplanes they say fit your own oxygen mask first, and this is it.
Oh mate, I couldn't agree more with that. And if anyone whoever is going through that, you know, you can't don't do it alone, because luckily, you know, my wife helped me in a sense. You know, you want to be a man and kind of like hide it, but to a certain degree, if you do that, you cause more problems. And just be open about it, because she went through stuff as well, and then I helped her and stuff. And when you realize that you're not alone, and I think the emphasis on men's mental health now is more important than ever, because you know there's the stigma, oh, I don't talk about it. It's fine. Like if you say, look, how are you, and you say, I'm okay, so as soon as someone says I'm okay, they're not okay. Do you know what I mean? If you're with good friends who are open about it, because then it comes through. So speak to it. Doesn't matter. Do you know what I mean? It's just sometimes just listen. When someone's speaking, sometimes they can't make process in their whole mind. So, you know, it comes through there. So when they speak, just let them speak, because that's half the therapy. And here's the matter thing. So when I did Wedding Guru, I did all that. 2019. And I said, look, I've got to try to exit from here slowly. Because what happened was, me and my brother had conflict I love my brother. There's no understatement about it. I love him. But he has a style, I have a style, and we're the direction of the hotel with business. So rule number one is there has to be either two people or one person who are aligned with each other. So if you're one person who's running the business, you've got to be aligned with yourself. Or if you've got two partners or something, you all have to be aligned with the vision of where you're going. When you don't, it causes catastrophe. Because it then it seeps down to management, staff placement, stuff. And we were having that, and the business just it just wasn't going where I want. I piled it for the past 6 years. I got it up to where I've gone. And don't get me wrong, I was making seven figures, mate. Not me, revenue. Do you know what I mean? But hospitality is very expensive. People think, oh, food and stuff. Then you put staff in. Then you put all this. You're just fighting this whole thing. There was a point we probably, I probably hit reached it from like. I don't know, I can't remember, like 200, 300,000, it got up to about 2.2 million, but in a sense, but the money was just draining me because it always kept pouring back into the hotel. I can't describe. And that's with the Asian catering and stuff like that. But profit wise, it just wasn't great. Like, do you know what I mean? So anyone who comes to me says I make seven figures, I don't really give a shit how much figures you make. Do you know what I mean? What's your bottom line? It's true. Anyone who says this, especially Intima, I will help you to make second figures. I don't give a shit, mate. Do you know what I mean? All I care if someone wants, like, say, if I want to do investment in the future, like, I make seven figures. What's your profit margins? What's your gross margins? What's your net profit? What you get after tax? What you do? Do you know what I mean? Where's your RD? What you put it into place? Your maintenance? Do you know what I mean? It means nothing. Anyone, so that's why they're just using that as a hook. How to make a second. And I'll say this: I hate it with a passion. Like I almost went into that, and I only kind of did that. I almost did it, and I just couldn't say that same thing to people that I was doing, because during the whole business, and as here's another thing, I was trying to run the hotel, and 2008, 2009, the revenue just started drying up and stuff, and so I started doing entrepreneur wedding in terms of the marketing things that I learned. You and me were being in the same kind of arena,
I
so I
remember
was.
the podcast interview with you.
And I was trying to do like wedding guru and trying to do that. And I was just trying to grow, trying to get that. And I was to a certain degree, but here was a massive. I know I'm deviating one thing because it's just nuggets come through. Because I was a hotel didn't mean the system, the principles were the same, the execution is different. That's the thing. So when someone says, just go on Facebook ads, do this, do this. I was telling this to people like wedding people, like singers and people who do saxophone stuff. I had the budget to do Facebook ads to a certain degree, yeah. So I was gonna do Facebook ads and stuff, but then, and in the sense that I could find the audience and I built the funnel, the sales funnel to get that weddings from nothing to 56 weddings a year. At one time we peaked at that, and then it kind of just, it was okay. And then as soon as I started moving off the business, it started coming down less. But there's nothing I could do about that. There's nothing. Just as I was saying, my brother. So there's another thing is that the plan and systems are very, very important, but execution's different. I just realized, I've dawned on me now. People say, do the same thing as this guy's doing. Yeah, but he's in a different industry. The plan and the process is the same. I get that. But the execution is different because it depends on what resources you have to pull that off. If a
That's
person.
the exact point that I wanted to jump in at, is that when you know your numbers and know what cost per sale you can do, like I'm guessing for a wedding venue, your cost per sale is going to be different to somebody that will do a saxophone piece at a drinks reception.
Yes.
So that's why you can spend more to acquire that customer than a saxophonist can.
Yeah, 100. Like, it would cost me. I knew that my numbers, and I'm talking about years ago. I remember I could probably budget around about. I was willing to spend 500 to 800 to acquire a customer. Well, a saxophone person probably only owns 400. You think he's gonna be making a loss of 300 if he's doing it at £500 just to get it, just to me. But I was telling them that theory, and then so I did a disservice in the end, and I realized like, no, you can't. And then certain degree, and then my wife and the kid happened, and it just waned off because I was trying to run the hotel and stuff. So that was a thing.
So when you were
So.
running the hotel, you obviously had your own systems and processes in place to make things happen. How did that kind of, you seem to go in misalignment with your brother a little bit with those systems and processes?
The systems and processes, sorry, go on.
So how did you work that through so that the hotel could continue to thrive?
Well, the so it didn't start well. It was probably not going thriving by the time, say, 2019, I started roughly exiting. Do you know what I mean? Not because I wasn't there, but I understood that it was just the way that how you treat staff, how you do it. So look, first of all, when we were there, it used to be just family. We do roles and stuff like this. My father said, "You do this, you do this, you do this." When we were sharp, but obviously you went to uni and start learning about stuff. We went to other businesses that you need people. If you want to grow a business, you need people. It's plain and simple. Maybe different now these days in terms of what business model you're doing. Do you know what I mean? Because
Still
there's
think it's
not.
really important if you want to build a business rather than build a job.
Yeah, mate. Look, listen. You both, me and you and me know about. Look, listen. If you work full time in business and you don't have people, then you just have a job. You don't have a business. It's plain and simple as that. How are you for swearing on here, mate? Because I already swore, but it's too late.
Swear
Yeah,
away, mate.
yeah. Well, yeah. Because
You're
I'm
not
you. You know me. That's why I went on 10. They banned me at 10 o'clock in my program because I swore like a fucking trooper. But that's my expression. That's my thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it means processes and systems. I cannot emphasize that all decisions I do, I put a system in place now. Sometimes it's waned off because life's taken over and it's like a gust of wind, It's like, the small piglets in the house, they build the straw and then the wolf's blowing it, yeah, because then the third guy realizes you build a fucking brick. I'm like the little piglets at the moment, do you know what I mean? I'm like, okay, I built the brick now because of these past couple of years. So I tried to exit, I started a marketing business because I learned that I was working for someone else part-time. And then I was helping with the convenience store and then doing one or two weddings. I wasn't actively going to get them. People just naturally come to me, okay, you're the wedding guru. You do weddings, we'll do it. But the system was getting stretched. And I came to a point, and I'll tell you what was an amazing book. And I'm just pivotal moment. So Shoe Dog by Phil Knight.
Yeah,
I'm
great book
mate. Fucking one of my best books I've ever written. I've ever read.
that.
Yeah. And but you could read something, but or you could take people think that I had to read a whole book, and I read the whole book, and you got to take nuggets out of it. This is great, but I wasn't in his like process like where he was. But you could see the journey, and that's an amazing book, mate. So well written, and it's just a way. But he said something right at the end, yeah. And I was reading because I read a lot of books in the toilet, yes. And this is fucking nuts. Yeah, I mean, yeah. So she's like, "Why are you in there for ages?" Like, I don't take my phone in. I read books now, and I put a time. Mind you, I had to take my watch in and put a time in on just to make sure because it's like I was having like dead shit leg. Do you know what I mean? So like that's what I call it. I was gonna do the commentary. So my leg was just going numb. But I didn't care. But it was profound, yeah. So I don't know why I just give you the description of why I heard that. But I just look. We're open. We're bros, So we do the. He said, yeah, that because anyone he goes, I hate people. Though. I'm very paraphrasing here. I was gonna try to find it. So, and I said, he said, and it sticks with me, and again, a paraphrase, and he goes, I don't like the people who say they can do everything. And what he was basically saying was, is that, keep persevering or something like that. Sometimes things just don't work. They just don't work. It doesn't matter about your willpower. It doesn't matter how much you want. And I was doing that for several years. I am not going to let this go. I am not going to let this go because I put invested. So it's called the justify. There's a method. What's it called? It's called the justification method. And I'm again, it's wrong. I'll ping it over to you sometime. Where because cost fallacy, sunk cost fallacy. So the sunk cost fallacy basically means that because you put so much time in it that you cannot let go, and you have to look at the numbers. So what happened was I looked at the numbers and with the hotel and I had to look. And then when I read that, it fucking dawned on me. I'm like, here's a guy who's a billionaire and he's saying things don't work. Sometimes you hear people, you keep persevering and all that. Fuck off. Please piss off, man. There's a time and a place, the right time to do it. But honestly, like I rebel against it now. You have to look at it critically as a business. Is there a business model in here? And I look at it ruthlessly now. And no matter how much I love and your passion, but you can have all the passion in the world, and that is essential. Don't get me wrong. This accumulation of things, and I can go into it, but I won't like too
Well, this
much.
is why we're sat here, because for the past 14 months, since I started my coaching journey, for the first 12 months, I was aiming just at wedding businesses because
Yeah.
that's the industry that I come from. But realised that that wasn't a hungry market. So
Mate, 100%. It's like 100%.
then I'm in my mastermind group, and everyone's saying to me, "You get to spend so much time with your kids. How do you do it and grow your business?" And that's when it dawned on me that, right, business is business. Sales and marketing and putting systems and processes in place is the thing. So that's why I changed it to work with parent entrepreneurs and help teach them to build and grow in the way that I've built and grow, but still have time with my family. that's just changing the GPS. It's still being determined.
Yeah.
It's not being frightened to go, right, the past 12 months of what I've done, I'm fucking that off and I'm changing the direction around. And my end goal is still here.
Yeah.
I still want to be a coach, but I'm sensible enough to know that that crowd isn't hungry enough for what I want to serve and for where I want to go. So let's go here where I think there's a hungrier crowd and where I can be of better service and help more people.
Mate, look, first of all, I would say to anyone who knows Jamie, the amount of experience and marketing this guy's done, and I'm not just bigging you up, mate, you just got me on the stuff. I have seen the stuff that you've done, and it's fucking brilliant. Like, how you got, I understand how, you cannot comprehend how hard the wedding market is. It's oversaturated, and people just do with price and stuff. You were able to do, and that's why, you know, I always used to come to you in the hotel, and, mate, you know, we were talking, it's like, how you done this? Oh, Jamie, that's fucking clever. So in the terms of like in an industry, how to be different, it's the same thing. There's a logical, people think that because it's just weddings, you just did weddings. No, it's the thinking behind it, you know, that makes a difference. And coming back to the thinking part was, so when I read that book and stuff, I had two questions was that, so I came out of the rut in the sense. So I said to my dad, look, listen, I just want to go back into the shop. At the moment, I need something mojo. I'm going to go back in the shop. I'm going to do retail. Because I was missing people. Like, I'm a people's person. So I started talking to people, but then I felt a bit down going, oh, yeah, I am. When I was 6 years old, behind the counter or something. And that's my ego speaking. That was. You got to let ego go. Ego could do so much damage in a way that it's good because you could say you don't take shit. But at the same time, in ego with yourself. If you're something else and then someone's trying to do you over, and sometimes you need that. I'm not having that, mate. In comedy, I use my ego a bit just to help me get on stage. Like, fuck that, I'm really good. Go on, monks. Do you know what I mean? They can do it. Then they boo, fuck off, okay. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, but I loved it. But my ego is, oh, yeah, I'm back in the thing. If you have to restart, you have to restart. It does not matter. Do not. Sometimes you just need to get treading again. So I did that. And then I realized that I was at a point where, okay, let's look at this. If I wanted to put money to expand the Asian catering and stuff, it would have been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands because I wanted a new kitchen. I wanted to take it out, get new chefs in, put the process in place. And then I said to myself, when will I get my return on the money? And I looked at it and I said, it ain't worthwhile. This it's not worth it. And I've been in this industry for years. I went, fuck it. I'm done. And I was exiting, and I tell you now, God must have, because I'm not religious, but call it the universe of God, and went, hey, well, there's the C word, mate. Oh, my God. I was like, what the fuck is going on here? So I started going back in the shop. I was doing the marketing for someone else. The next thing, the shop came in, and my dad's working a bit more, going to the cash and carry, and he's oldish now. Like, and he was in the 60s at that time. And I thought, my father and my family are my everything. So, like, when I include my family, it's my mother and my father. My job is to look after them. I'm not saying anyone else doesn't have that culture. Don't get me wrong. But it's very ingrained in Asians that we look after our parents and stuff. I'm not saying other people don't. They do. So, anyway. So, I said, look, Dad, you know. So, I said to the guy, he's a friend. He said, look, I just need to pop back into the shop a bit more. He goes, that's fine, yeah. And it was bonkers. And then next thing you know, it was just a wave. And the past 3 years then, mate, was, okay, there's no income coming from the weddings. There's no income coming in. What do you do? Mate, you need to do what you need to do. And I'm saying to anyone, that's why I say ego. I'm not doing that job. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. Shut the fuck up. Yeah? And if you got to do what you got to do for this short term, fucking do it. You got to do it. I was doing the shop and called Cash and Carry, and there was on TV doing weddings and stuff. And I had to put my weight in the car, my TV. I wasn't that, but what I'm saying, people would shoe my words. But I am in the Cash and Carry 5 o'clock in the morning with my cousin, yeah? And we're just like outside in the van, like waiting in the queues going, do you know what I mean? Because I said, okay, this is the only one for income, do you know what I mean? So this is what I got to do. This is what I got to do.
So take that into another way then. Right, there's people that are getting in loads of leads and there's people that they can help, but they won't pick up this. They won't pick up the phone, make $20-$40 a day to speak to people to get more business in, because their ego, and they just can't get over themselves.
It's ego, mate. Man, we have this ego. There's some of them who are snobbish and stuff like that. And I don't mean that because you're rich or whatever. We all, look, life will always say you're up here and life will always try to bring you down. And when you come down, there's always people there, yeah? So you treat people with love, respect and everything. I've always, my parents told me that, and you always got to do that. So, but also your ego within yourself. It's like, stop. A versatile person has to deal with what's in front of them. And what was all these things. Now I'm very flexible. Now I'm too flexible. You know, sometimes I've always been known as, and I even call myself, if anyone's seen that Disney movie Up, so I love Up, you know, the guy who has the balloons in the houses and he floats away. Yeah. Do you remember they spotted that dog and he had the collar and he was called Doug?
Yeah.
So every time he squirrels, yeah, squirrel. Do you know what I mean? While you're talking. Well, I sometimes call myself fucking Doug. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, what's that? Yeah, especially in the marketing world. Oh, what's this new program? Well, let's do all this. I'm very less like that. And when I was starting the businesses, I used to be like that. But now, everything I'm doing is with the... So when we did the shop, it's momentum, mate. People were coming to us. So I can't say I did everything massively. People were staying local. Then we kept the shop open. And then sometimes it's just hard graft to come in. Then was to bring... Was a PR... Look, during that time, it was time of crisis. So we'll all look back and go, that was crazy, but that was a bit over the top. No, because at that time, we didn't know. So you had to keep motivation going. And I love people. I know it sounds mad. It's really cheesy. I love people. That's my energy. When I meet other people, like when you say, Jamie, you want me on a podcast? Jamie, you want me on a podcast? Why do you want me on a podcast? But I love talking. You could tell. But it's human connection. Because that's who I am. So I started doing these things because then it was good for my mental health. Sometimes to serve others invertedly is serving you. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? That's a big thing. And Sikhism, it's not like I'm saying, oh, Sikh, we do that. We have something called Seva. So Seva means basically service to humanity. It's one of the two, three core things of Sikhism as religion, that you must serve humanity. You must serve people. So in the Golden Temple in Amritsar, yeah, is the Hamindas, which is the Golden Temple. It basically, it's got the biggest kitchen in the world. It serves over 200,000 people a day, right, regardless of your religion, regardless of your caste. So if you go to a Sikh temple, they have to feed you because that's your job. If you say, I need food, they will serve you regardless of who you are. So it's called Seva. So basically, 200,000 people get fed their day every day. So that's a principle inside me that it says, look, what can I do to give back? It doesn't have to be money. It could be time. It could be speaking for the phone or something. So that was important for the people there in the community. So did the shop. Next me, you know, they want. And here's the maddest thing. So 2019, they commissioned second series of Wedding Guru. I thought, that's a bonus. Let's carry on with that. And it got delayed, so we filmed all that, and that was a hard slog, like, because a lot of the Asians didn't want to go on camera, you know what I mean? Because it's like they're blinging and stuff. But I said, look, come on, you could do this for me. I'll give you this kind of stuff, the wedding. Mm-hmm. So that came on 2020, COVID's happening, and it got delayed. It was supposed to come in March, it ended up coming out in June. So again, June, then I get a call from the same production company, Wedding Guru, do you want to go to program with Cav Orderman? I didn't think about TV becoming celebrity because I said, just, you know, let me see. You know, I can't change it because jump off. So let me see what happens. And so there's this program with Kai Vorderman. So did that. And next thing you know, this other TV series. So I was talking about the chip shops. I was in the right position. So I was talking about lockdown and takeaways. We had a takeaway at the same time. Lockdown and shops and the hospitality. So because I'm an oldest industry, I knew about it. Done it. So it was like what is called a... the guest presenter. Now here's Anka to talk about that. Do you know what I mean? So went over. Then Weatherman Walking called me, and it's my favorite program. So Anka, we want to take you around everywhere. We think we love you. I was like, okay, that's great. Let's do it. And next minute, I'll be taken to mountains, things like that. And then when the third series came up, that they said but here's the matter. Okay, so I know I'm going all over the place because you have to say. So that's all happened 2020. Then in November, yeah, we go in. Huh? November 2020. So TV Wedding Guru's happened now, second series, that's come up, so let's put my profile. Then BBC asked me to go on two other programs. I'm like, there's something in this. But the shop's buzzing. I'm like, something's in this. What's going on? And I'm like, let me have a look at this. So that I could do the shop, and then because I could manage it, and then do all that. And I promoted a person who was a shopkeeper, like a person on my staff, into my manager because she was fucking shit hot. She's my manager now. 2020, go into a room. My wife phones me up. Yeah, this is part of my comedy set. She goes, I'm pregnant. I said, what do you mean? So when did that happen? Do you know what I mean? She goes, I got this joke. I said, you in a flash mode. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I can't remember. I was that quick. I forgot about it. Do you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Anyway, so we go in there and she goes, oh, I feel really sick. We need to go check. We went, normally get 20 weeks, 8 weeks come in. And this is private place. It was quite cheap, actually. So we said, let's go check there. So we went there. We sat in the room, mate. Yeah. And it was taking ages. She's getting investigated. Fucking taking ages, brother. And I'm like, what's going on here? Oh, my God. They can't find it. This is going to be disastrous, you know. You're kind of there. And I was imagining, I'm sitting here. You're there. Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, God, this is really bad. Mr. Singh. And they had masks on, yeah. They go, Mr. Singh. No, she goes, sorry, not Mr. Singh. Like, she goes, oh, she's really ready. What are you on about? Like, she goes, babies. I heard a plural here, three babies. And it's like, she goes, we could see three babies. Oh, mate. I turned around. I got a wicked joke set with it. I turned around and I went, shut the fuck up. Bro, honestly, I was so asbo. I was like there. My wife's going, what's going on? I'm like, shh. Trying to find out what's going on. Next minute, I'm doing all the commotion. She goes, I'm so sorry it took long. I'm trying to find a heartbeat for the third one. And bing, 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 mate. I was like, what the fuck is going on here? And she found out. And we're sitting in there in this dark room. And I can't express to you. I'm like, I feel like I've just been punched and had a hangover the same. Like, I just know what's going on. And we were in there for ages, and we stood in the dawn. It's like, imagine now you've been hit in the head and you've got a ringing noise coming in. That's all I was hearing. Walked out this dark room, and because we were there for ages, I don't know why, there was all these couples in there, about six, seven couples. I said, I'm so sorry to keep you waiting. Just found out we're having triplets. And the women went, ah, I swear to God. And all the guys went, bro, I see, kid you not yet, yeah? That's exactly what happened, yeah? And we sat down, and the woman was like, who owns the place? She goes, oh, can we have the, can, you can have the tickets for free, but do you mind if we put it on the wall, and we'll give you the pictures for free? I went, thank God for that, because they charge like £5 per picture, yeah? She goes, the machine wouldn't stop printing. We walked out. We're sitting in the car for half an hour, yeah? I was sitting in there. Now, wait, we got in, closed the door, and we looked at each other. And said, what just the hell happened? I said, I don't know what's going on. And we're sitting in there, our mate. And it was just, it was madness.
So it was, now that you've got four kids then, how do you manage your time?
Mate, at the moment, yeah.
Family first and then build everything else, business around it.
Yeah, so the decision was, when I found out, so that time happened. Then in December, I got commissioned for the three-part documentary called Asian Wells. Now, this is a big thing because this was going to go out in. So they said they got to film it up until May 2021. So I had to film, interview all these people. Loving it, mate. Do you know what I mean? It's like, cause to me, speaking to people and stuff like doing weddings and stuff to scale is easy. Like, I can get the best story out of anyone. I love it. It is me, mate. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So 2021 will come and we have to finish off. I said, look, we need to finish because the kids may be coming in May. They're supposed to come in July, but they got to have an operation because they don't, trippers don't go the full term. They got to come out there. So they come out, just finished term and finished filming 1 week before. Next thing you know, found out that these kids, you know, the kids are coming. You know, honestly, mate, that's a different story of what the fuck happened. Like. And so the kids come and we got everything set up. And you know when you plan as best as you can, like, I'm going to start there, home here, people, we're going to put in place and stuff. I don't know how. We're just dealing with the wind.
Yeah.
It was 10 times bigger than I thought. Because in the same time in the shop, I set up the delivery. So we set up our own brand called Dave and Anka. Yeah. So doing the whole thing. So instead of, like, going with Uber and stuff, I said, no, they're going to take commission. I'm going to build a brand out of this. So all the videos I was doing, all the things that you've seen, started to make a brand, and it's called the Dave and Anka with a picture. And I was online. Mate, that's one of the reasons for how I was able to sell the shop, because we had, like, it was counted for 20-30% of our total sales in the shop, the delivery. And I was doing the deliveries to get it in the van and do them. And I built the system. I got someone to help me build the website. He had a system, branded it myself. So Dave and Onka. So that was just flying. But anyway, so I'm home with the kids. So that started a year before. Kids come, and I went, and then again, it's one of those crossroads. I went, COVID's not going to last forever. Yeah. I can't, and the shop's pretty small, so I couldn't expand. Like, it was punching above its weight. And even after COVID was easing off, it was still punching above its weight. We built this reputation beyond. I was getting people from Swansea calling me for fucking, and I'm in Brennan, like literally 40 minutes away, right, asking for flour because they saw the video. Do you know what I mean? Cause I got everything. Mate, COVID was happening, I was fighting for flour in a food takeaway place for these big things. Yeah. And I could still sell it. Do you know what I mean? And I bought a pallet in. Oh, mate. People were making fairy cakes for years in my street. Yeah. So my point being is there's certain moments in your life that come to you have to make a decision. And because I acted boldness and the shoe dog thing, that sometimes you could run its course. I expanded the shop. I've done everything and I couldn't get more sales. I said, critically, have I got to the value of the shop? Absolutely. And I thought I wanted to expand Dave and Onka as a delivery service beyond. Like, I was like, wow, I want to do this. Then a crossroad came because I was doing this TV series. I went this. I want to be home with the kids to help them for the first two, three years. There's no way my wife could have done it all. And my mother, she lives on the corner. Yeah. So I made the decision that we're going to sell the shop and we're going to sell it as peak. We sold it 4 months later and leased it out. So we got a bit of capital come in and I used that as my 2 years to help with the kids and stuff. Yeah. So that's like my wage to a certain degree. Then the TV series thing. And I said, that's it. I'm pivoting. So I'm 43 now. I said, when I was about 39, I said, 5 years time, I'm going to be on the one show as a presenter. And I will do it. Somehow, some way, I got 2 years left. I have to do that, bro. I have to. I've got to be on it. You will see me on national TV. Because I was on national TV the other day. It was weird. I had a couple of texts go, we see your fucking ugly mug. Me and my mates go, on Sunday morning, and I'm next to me on BBC Two, and he's in Wales. I'm see your face. I'm like, bro, this is you deserve to see that face in the morning. I said to him, yeah. So anyway, so it came to the decision, and do not be afraid to worry about the future. The point being was this. You can only deal with what's in front of you here.
Yeah.
People want to get to here and have certainty. It doesn't work like that. You will not have certainty in your life. You can only get to a certain degree. You must have courage and belief in yourself. Do you know what I mean? You got that. And that's the element of magic. Do people want to go? People say, yeah, if you do like a business and forecast and systems in place to run a business and system in your life. So I use a system, God, mate, I'm waffling on here, sorry, but because I jump from one thing.
Stuff I think if I just interrupted, that self belief is something that, man, you could kind of, we could do a 3 hour podcast on self belief because that is the thing that kills more entrepreneurs and dreams and everything else than anything else, is that negative seed of doubt and people not doing anything and letting that seed grow instead of kind of looking to the future. I'm very big on meditation because it keeps me in line with my future rather than thinking, oh, this shit's happened to me today.
Yeah.
Whereas when I meditate, I'm there thinking, right, what's the end goal? Where am I going with this? I guess that's a little bit with you as well, because with you wanting to be on the one show in 2 years' time, I'm guessing you're always looking to the future and thinking, right, what are the next steps that's going to get me another step closer to where I want to be?
100%. Like I had a meeting with my agent. Like, the industry at the moment is in turmoil, mate, the TV presenter. And I'm like, okay, I've done the kind of wrong bet here, because I kind of like, then I was trying to get some podcasts going with the kids and help raise. Like, the first year was a blur with them, mate. Like, I don't know what sleep was. Like, one kid, people say, oh, they're all triplets, they all fall asleep at the same time. Like, bullshit. Do you know what I mean? They will do what they want to do. One wakes up, one does this. It was relentless, mate. My wife's a hero, and I'm half a hero. I had a part to play. And then basically my mum come to help, and then luckily my mother-in-law's come to move in and stuff, you know, moving around, and now they're in daycare. But it's like, so she gets a bit of relief. But as my boy now, we're dealing with autism. So my life has to, so when I got opportunities, it has to be designed. So the takeaway, we got like our family relative and a manager runs it. I do all the marketing stuff because I said physically I can't be there to cook the food, but I can make new food ideas and stuff. Because my boy, he's getting 11 years old. It's not going to get easier. It's going to get harder. Do you know what I mean? It's completely the opposite for me. But luckily, the boys don't have it. It's a hereditary thing. But you have to, and it dawned on me 2-3 years ago. Just deal with what's in front of you. Plan. Don't get me wrong. There's a thing I do every 3 months, and I haven't done it for the past 6 months. So I'm not even a part of my own theory. And that's why my things have gone a bit out of the window. Every quarter, 90 days, and probably John's talked about this because John helps me reinforce it because I know John and see a lot of his posts too. But don't forget that Bill Gates does this. He used to go away for a week and then basically discover what you're doing. I cannot comprehend to you how important that is. No matter if the fucking world's raining fire, stop and think. Abraham, Lincoln, there's always that saying, never understood it, but then 3 years ago I understood it, was he goes, if I'm going to chop down a tree, I will spend, if I only had 7 hours to do it, I would spend the first 4 hours sharpening the saw.
You've noticed the big smile on my face as you tell that story, because I tell that story to my staff all the time.
And the thing is, it's the biggest thing. It's true, though. Now, if it's true, or these, half these quotes, sometimes they make it up. One day, they're going to have, Oka Singh said this, you know? And it's like, yeah, I said that. Yeah, I did, you know? But it describes the story, the narrative at the time. Like, I have a saying, like, I put it in my thing when I look at Notion. Notion, by the way, is bollocks. Yeah, so that's the software. If anyone wants to come to me with systems, honestly, I've got a wicked system. Systems, Notion, not Notion.
You're talking about how Bill Gates and...
Oh, yeah. The 30 days. So what you do is what I do now is I built up, so I use a system, again, people can look this up, yeah? So I use a system called GDT, yeah, Getting Things Done by David Allen. And then basically, so that's the system in terms of how to deal with tasks, funnel it and put it away. Honestly, game changer for me. And then Second Brain by Brian something. Anyway, so in terms of how to deal with tasks and systems and stuff. Yeah. Anyway, so I put it in the calendar now. So then what I do then is that I go away to this office that's down 10 minutes, 15 minutes away, and I book myself every quarter for 2 days off. And I look back on the last 90 days, what my task had done. Then I plan for the next 90 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, I cannot stress to you, mate, how massively fucking important that is. Get away from the family, get away with the kids, where you want to go. Just look at it. Just breathe. Just say, all I'm going to do is look at my finances, look at whatever you want. And then that's where you, I'm a creative person. I like to think in the future, where I want to be and stuff. But it takes steps to get there. You know, I wish I could tell my younger self, look, be patient. Yeah. Stop. And reflect 3 to 4 times in a year. Not massively. Don't change it. You already set a goal, what you want to do. So like in December, January, go away for a week. Yeah. I hadn't done this yet.
It doesn't even need to be that though, does it? You could go to a Premier Inn and just book a room for the
J.K. Rowling done it. She basically stayed in the hotel to finish off the last chapters of there, and she paid £1,000 a day to do it, and she was hardly she made money by then. But then there, Carl Jung, the person who done that, anyone who does it, I'm getting back into deep work by Carl Newport, so that's helping me to do all that. So and all these things and the strategy and that came those planning and that time then basically interconnected the things I'm doing. So. I'm starting a marketing agency, like boutique, small one at the moment. Yeah. So doing that because I built the website for my fish and chip shop and stuff. I'm doing comedy to help reinforce TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. Comedy then will then help my hosting because one of the goals is, and I'm not there yet. Like I want to, yeah. Is like, so the Abraham thing, sharpen the saw, helps me with motivational speaking because I like people and, not be serious and have a little joke, but be in front of 30 people, 40 people trying to do it. People don't really, like, I discovered it. So the same chair that you're selling in a wedding, yeah, it could be used for a conference, could be used for something else. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying to you is an asset that you decide, yeah, like my business didn't go, the hotel didn't go where I wanted to be in the future. It didn't mean that all the skills and everything's wasted. I call it the halo effect. So when you do something, there's a byproduct. Like put it for example, oil. Yeah. I got this somewhere in my Notion somewhere. Like, so petroleum, the byproduct of petroleum makes over, and I might be completely wrong in the numbers, but I know it's above 200, 300, 400, several hundred items just from one thing, petroleum. So Vaseline's petroleum, isn't it? It's lubricants for machinery. It's, you wouldn't believe it. One product. So if you learn a skill of speaking, the halo effect that is, then you learn the art of communication. You learn the art of confidence. You learn the art of taking your time. The halo effect of it's massive. So therefore, well, what's the one thing I could do? Because I love the book, one thing. Again, that is a massive book. Like, I'm not saying I read all the books, mate, but I'm trying to take it. Like, what's the one thing you could do besides doing it that everything else becomes pointless or something? I can't remember what he says in there. But what's the one thing you could do? So I thought, well, I got this time. What can I do? I went, comedy is a thing. Now, comedy, I realized, sometimes if you don't know something, just get in there and you might be slapped in the face and it's completely different. You don't know until you do it. You can't sit on theory. Like, you need to go in there and get a couple of slaps in life. And then you know what? You get used to it then. You're like, so the comedy is a lesson for me to say, like, I'm going to try this. Why I love comedy, I'm not saying I'm an expert. It'll take me 4 or 5 years, mate. And I'm 42 now. And I come way late. I don't give a shit. Because I know that even if I don't come great to comedy or something, the byproduct of it is unfucking real. Like, so when I say to someone, like, if you learn how to make a web page, yeah, that in a sense, you learn how to make systems. And if you learn how to make systems, you learn how, you know, was Epictetus or Aristotle, give me the biggest stick in the world and I'll give you the biggest, give me the biggest leverage and I can move the world. Yeah. It's about the point of stick, like, where is your skill based? You know, people, so like in marketing agency kind of thing, yeah, if someone asks me, Uncle, can I build a small cottage? Like, imagine if I'm an architect. I'm a brilliant architect in terms of how to design your business and your marketing, your systems in place, and the overall how your business comes. Doesn't matter what business. Probably not e-commerce, but service-based business if it's in web. Yeah. So I learned all that. I had to learn and stuff. Now, if someone says, Uncle, I want you to make a cottage for me, and I was a builder, I say, yeah, Uncle, I can design it for you and build the house for you. Great, no problem. But Uncle, I want to build a 4-bedroom house. Oh, I've got to bring in my mate for that, but I can still design it. So it's because I could knock out something quick. But I got those people. My point being is that when you learn something, just what's the byproduct of it? That's a massive thing for me.
This is why I'm sat here, because yeah. The byproducts of building the best singing waiters during the years of building my business, I've learned sales. I've learned marketing. I've learned how to lead people. I've learned how to delegate. I've learned how to put together systems and processes. I've learned about paid ads. I've learned how to list build. And all of those things, it doesn't matter the industry that you're in, they're all valuable skills. And that's why I feel I can help people take themselves to the next level. Because of that halo effect that you were talking about. And that's probably why me and you, with the skills that we have, could go into most industries and thrive and create money and create customers and create products because of the things that we've learned as we've had our journeys since kind of...
God, yeah, like 13, 14, 15 years ago. Yeah. So, mate, it's mad.
We've been chatting for ages and I'm conscious of the time that you have, so...
No, I'm all right, mate. If you want to, I know you only want to do a 1 hour podcast, but if people like drive, if people are driving going, oh my God, Uncle, just shut the fuck up and like, just go now. Like, no, I won't go. Yeah. And I could stay on another 10 minutes if you want. I won't go.
Well, let's talk about some of these quick fire questions then. I'm sure knowing me and you will ramble on a bit more than what the answers should be, but here we go.
Yeah. Interrupt me if I'm rambling because you could go in. Okay. Just do it.
So what are the key three behaviors you would like to install into people?
I want to say that again. I want to install in people, yes, like the behaviors.
When you're looking
from a business perspective, or are you talking about like from just life in general?
Personal, business, however you want to come at it.
All right. So treat everyone, regardless of the status, with respect, regardless. It doesn't matter if it's a janitor or it's fucking Elon Musk. You treat them both the same. No matter for shit. Obviously, just treat you. Human beings are human. So treat them with love and respect, I would say. That's a big thing for me.
Yeah.
Three, what's the second one? Resilience. you know, like, do not just learn from your own life lessons more than in the sense that what your social media or anything's telling you. So resilience. Be resilient. It's fine to fall flat on your face. It's fine to, like, it doesn't go right. That's okay, mate. It's all right. It's just a question of just getting back up and just learning. Just resilience. Just build up resilience. You know, the human being is 20,000 times more what we're capable of doing. Do you know what I mean? So I would say, yeah. Could I put self-belief in now as the third one? I would say resilience and self-belief. You know what I mean? So, you know, just you're unique. Everyone's unique. So don't ever sell yourself short. Okay, that's the second one. Don't ever sell yourself short.
When you talk about resilience, how are you going to cope as a father when your kid fails? Are you happy to put them into positions where they might fail and might come to you in tears? Or are you going to be one of those dads that protects them as much as possible?
Both. There's nothing. Failure is more of a lesson than success. I can't stress that enough. Like, I heard that. I've learned from why, because we all know in selling, people react more negative than to positive stuff. Do you know what I mean? To stop something from happening than to gain something. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's why insurance sells well, because if you buy this, you do all that. Or, you know, like, you know, but if you don't buy this Rolex and you got the money, but, you know, oh, I want the status to be rich. Yeah, but if you don't have it, do you know what I mean? You're going to be look like a fucking, you know, wanker. Do you know what I mean? The fact that having Rolex on my hand, just, oh, when I was young, I wanted that. I don't know where I'm going with it, but I just don't want it. Even though I could, in theory, afford it, but it would take away my mortgage and resting and sleeping. It's more important. So I want my kids to fail. Like, you know, sometimes my wife goes, oh, no, they're falling down. And, like, as a father, yeah, I pick them up. They're kids, my toddlers, I want them to love me. But if they fall down, I say, come on, get up. Come on. Do you know what I mean? Not tough love. I hate that, you know, but come on, you can do it. Oh, because kids, like, look at you and cry. And when you go, oh, they're like, oh, that's a reaction. I'll do all that. So I'm learning, in a sense, 3 years old now of what to do, because the children, touch wood, I don't think have autism. Jeevans could be a completely different behavior, completely. Yeah. To my oldest son. So I've had to do things that a normal child doesn't do. Do you know what I mean? Because So the jury's still out on that one, mate. But I want them to learn the failures. I want them. I got to tell them very young, it's okay to fail. Do you know what I mean? But, and so they can get a bit of resilience, you know, to do it. So, yeah.
So what was the first record you ever bought?
Michael Jackson, Bad.
What a record that is.
Mate, I still listen to it.
I've got Michael Jackson on my Spotify playlist. I've probably got the vinyl Bad upstairs somewhere.
Oh, yeah, I got the picture I got in a massive frame. I don't know where it is, but I don't want it. Problem is, should I display it or not? I don't know. This is a problem now these days. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, he's like, I got a joke, but that's not relevant for that. It's not relevant now. No, believe it. It's just because it happened at BBC Radio. Yeah, so I'll tell you on the side. It's Bad.
So, what's the most memorable place you've ever visited?
Oh, wow. Oh my God, there's so many. I would say, like, seeing the three kids in the hospital, in the operating room, will always be etched in my mind, because it was 21 people in that room. Wow. It was fucking madness. We just got in. So it was just like Heath Hospital in Cardiff at 5 o'clock in the morning. I would never forget that, like 21 people. I think half of them just wanted to come see triplets, because we were the only triplets in Cardiff at that time. Because it's 1 in 10,000 chance. So it's like, fucking hell, man. Do you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't change for the world. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what else has 1 in 10,000 chance? Being struck by lightning. I literally, anyways, so that. And when I was in China, when I lived in China for 6 months doing my university, when I was doing a master's, the Beijing Wall.
Wow.
Beijing Wall. Yeah, the friggin' Great Wall of China.
Mate,
still stuns me. Golden Temple is there. There's loads of things, man. God. But yeah, my, actually, yeah. But it's like, it's mad, but it's like, I don't know. I'm going sentimental now, but it's like, things are not 100% perfect right now because it's cash flow, this, that. And I'll be honest with the people, like, oh, everything's running smooth. It's not. It's like, at the moment, it's like, because they're adapting and the business is changing and the environment. I'm like, oh my God, what the fuck do I do? Because TV is just, it's really down. So it's like, kind of, I'm out of work for one series last year and I've got the marketing business, but I don't want to take too much money from it. But the payoff of being at home to adapt, like I could go get a job easy and I could get, and I know I could probably get like a job 60, 70K easy, mate, no problem. Honestly, like that's how I believe. But the value of sitting down with the kids and just fucking playing with them, oh, mate, that is like that to me. Like I've realized that to me, like I could design my
That's
life.
scary, isn't it?
This way, mate, this, honest to God, as much as cheesy anyone says, yeah, because when you're dead, yeah, when you're dying on your death, here's a question I say to everyone, and this one helps me choice. When I can't make a choice, I decide it. Just imagine yourself lying on the deathbed, yeah, and then say, whatever decision you do, and you're lying on the deathbed, would you regret it or not regret it? You go, I don't really give a shit. Just imagine, I could put myself in an immersive, like I could literally transport myself in my mind to places. That's all quite creative in a sense. But if just if you can't make a decision, just you're 99 years old, yeah. You're one day from your 100th, but you're not gonna fucking make it, so don't worry about that, yeah. So you're like, shit, I'm not gonna make 100, yeah. But you're gonna die. But that and you all these things pop up in your head. Will you regret that decision of what you're gonna do? And if you say it and you think you're old, you're like, this means nothing now, then don't worry about it. But the time you lost with your children, yeah, like I'm not saying everyone doesn't have the choices that you and me have. I get that. I understand. But like at the moment, I have to make a choice of kind of working a bit longer so they lose, the time with the kids. But I also have to be a responsible parent to provide income for the family. There's no ways around it. But if you really, really work hard at it, you can eat your cake and eat it sometimes, have your cake and eat it. I mean, I don't understand that fucking saying, though. Anyway, it really pisses me off. You can't have your cake and eat it. Why have the fucking cake in the first place? Do you know what I mean? If your cake's not to be eaten, who made that fucking phrase anyway? Do you know what I mean? Oh, you can't have your cake and eat it. Well, why go to the bakery and buy a fucking cake in the first place? Why? Just why? Do you know what I mean? That's my comedy sense coming in. That's good. I like Jamie inspired me there. That's my set there. Do you know what I mean? You can't have your cake and eat it. But why fucking buy it in the first?
I'll send you the recordings. It's all right. You don't need to
Yeah,
tell
yeah, yeah. But
me.
yeah, so what is that's a massive thing for me. That really helps me in a lot of decisions. Like, oh, can I do this business? Like, nah, that decision stopped me from doing the Dave and Anka going online or having the choice of looking after the kids for 2 years. And Anka, this option, because mate, we were on a roll and I talked to a few people in investments to find this little unit to do it. To take Dave and Anka and take it levels. And then I asked that question, but I'm going to miss the two kids growing up as babies.
That's massive, isn't it?
Yeah, it was there's choices. And so I asked that question, which one will you regret? This one with the kids, not this. You shouldn't love money, but you have to fucking respect it. You have to. There's a difference when people say money's the evil of all things. Shut that up. Do you know what I mean? You just don't know how to manage it. And I'm not great at managing sometimes, but respect it. Do not ogle it. Do you know what I mean? But time with your kids, because every parent will tell you, grandparents will. The children, because mate, they're 2.5 years old. So what I'm saying to you is just, if you can't think, just think in your decision, spending time with your kids or building that business and you're 99 years old, about to die, which one will you regret the most? Oh, not being with my kids. There you are. Decision done. Fuck off.
What are your top three books?
Oh,
I know this is going
yeah.
to be difficult for you.
Oh, mate, oh, God. Mate, you wouldn't believe it. I got loads of books on the shelf, yeah, because all my books are everywhere. I used to have an office, and then I give that to my son. So I used to have like fucking massive cases of books, yeah. And the kids are just literally torn. All right, Deep Work. I think that's no, I wouldn't say Deep Work. One Thing, 100%. Fuck me, what a book, man! That is a sensational book. I don't know who is the author. It's called The One Thing. My
Was
God.
it Gary somebody?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So the one thing, the Shoe Dog,
So nice.
yeah, Shoe Dog's amazing. Oh fuck, I can't remember the other ones, mate. I do a lot of audio. So like so I listen to a lot of audiobooks, and if I love the audiobook, I'll buy the hard and I'll buy
Same.
the I won't buy the book now. I won't buy Kindles anymore. I've had enough. So I will, because I need that book physically there, and it reminds me. So yeah, so I buy, if I love the audiobook, I'll buy it. Like a really good book pops up, like basically James Altucher, Choose Yourself. That's a sensational book. If you haven't, James Altucher is quite eccentric, but that was a good book. That was, I don't know, mate. Good to Great, Jim Collins. That's fucking good. But the problem, like, here's the thing: people buy the book. Don't read for the sake of reading. Read a book that you think that you applies to help you in the situation you are right now.
Adam Carra said exactly the same thing.
Do you know
Search
what I
for
mean?
books that are going to kind of help you where you're at right now.
Yeah. Like if you've got a mental, like if you're stuck about decisions, and oh, I look, it's if example, like so David Allen, GDT, yeah, it's intense, like the way his system is, but like his E-Myth, of course, systems, or Systemize is another book. But just I read this, oh, I have a look, I read a book, oh yeah, you're fucking great, oh, you're fucking lovely, okay, you're so smart,
For
what are you
me at the
doing,
moment,
huh?
sales. I'm really into sales and improving my sales operation at the minute.
Yeah.
So everything that I'm reading about is about how I can improve that system and up my conversion rate by 10, 20%. So everything is kind of focused on that when I'm reading stuff
Yeah.
at the minute.
Because you gotta take the book and apply it something, mate. Do you know what I mean? You gotta do something fucking with it. It's like there's no point. Like I realize as you get older, time becomes more valuable. I know it sounds really fucking, of course it is, and we're young, mate. Of course, you know what I mean? Look to 25, and if you listen to it on the Spotify, yeah,
That's the blurry
honestly,
camera.
do you know what I mean? Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. No, it's the filters from Instagram. I should have an Instagram, you know, like glow the face. And if you listen to it on Spotify and the podcast, you will not believe how handsome I am, yeah, but obviously how young I am. But what I'm saying to you is just like there's no time to fucking waste. Like sometimes I'll be straight with you, if a book is killing me and I can't read, I stop now. I won't go through it. Like, it's like honestly, mate, I don't see what the
I'm actually
relevance.
horrible like that, where if it's boring me,
It won't, yeah, it won't, if it hasn't intrigued
I
me,
don't finish it.
yeah, I won't finish it. Like Neville Ragnar person. Neville, you know Neville, so he's on Twitter. So
Neville Wright.
I can't remember. Like I'm Asian, I can't even say his fucking surname either. Do you know what I mean? He's Asian as well. Neville Ragnar something. He's like a philosopher tech person and he
Right,
does
okay.
this. Yeah. Anyway, he's on Twitter, mate. That's profound. He done a Twitter thread about 4 years ago, yeah. So he's become this philosopher now, yeah. But he used to be in tech and stuff. He did this Twitter thread, yeah. It was, fuck me, it was amazing. Like talking about like how to be a business, how to use your brand or tech or how to do it. It's so clever how he did it. So just put Nabil, who he is, go to his Twitter thread. He's got it pinned, and you'll in his Twitter thread, it's like it's probably like 20 minutes, like that. It's sensational, mate. I cannot express to you how good it is. So he said, if I fucking, because if a book doesn't serve your purpose, why the fuck are you reading it? Oh yeah, that's true. Like some of these stuff is this common. Like people use a lot of stuff just to bring you in to get into a sales funnel. Like you and me know when we get sucked into a sales funnel now. Now that's really clever, you know. I like that. Yeah. Let's go into this funnel. Do you know what I mean? Next thing you know, oh my God, where's my money gone? And someone does that, you're like, that is really good. So sometimes go through the process of what someone's doing, and that is half the lesson. So sometimes the book of life. That's my top one. The book of life, mate. The book of life. Do you know what I'm saying?
Onka, where can people find you?
OnkaPureWorld.com. So it's ONKAR, Pureworld, PUREWAL.com. That's my TV kind of thing and stuff. I have no website for my marketing in terms of stuff, but I am turning Onka Pure World into a blog so I can have a lot of these rants. And I'm on TikTok, so I have a thing called Onkavation. Yeah, I was just kind of like, oh, I like that name, it's clever. And then I went, oh yeah, just like I've only got four videos on it, so that's really fucking helps. So just talking about it, like, you know, Onkavation on TikTok or Onka Singh, put the wedding guru in, you can see this dodgy guy who looks well different to what he is now.
That's more kids for you, mate.
Oh mate, that's why do you think I talk delirious? I look delirious sometimes. Do you know what I mean? They've gone to nap time, so this is my nap time now as well.
Onka, Anka, it's been amazing to catch up. I really enjoyed your company again. We'll have to not leave it so long the next time round. Thank you very much for joining me on Tales of a Pair Entrepreneur. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for my man Anka.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Okay, thank you. We'll be right back.